findings from an investigation by the Washington Post. At the height of the opioids crisis, Walgreens handled nearly one in five of the most addictive opioids. While most chain and independent pharmacies relied on wholesalers, Walgreens obtained an estimated 97% of its pain pills directly from the drug manufacturers. Live to Washington, one of the journalists involved in this investigation, Jean Abelson, investigative reporter, Washington Post, WashingtonPost.com, and chronicle how you all got into investigating Walgreens and what popped up immediately, what came up later in your investigation, what the company denies or not.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure. So how did it start?
We began examining all of the different major drug manufacturers and wholesalers and pharmacies back in the summer. It came into sharp focus as the Washington Post and the HD Media were able to get access to a long-fought DEA database that showed the pain pill shipments all across the country, where they went from the drug manufacturers to the wholesalers to the pharmacies. And so we spent months untangling all of that data and analyzing it and trying to understand who were some of the major players in the opioid crisis based on the number of pills that they were handling, based on their comparisons to other stores. And so Walgreens is one of the named defendants in a massive federal lawsuit that's playing out, that was about to go to trial in Cleveland recently. And we looked at Walgreens because not only were they one of the nation's largest pharmacies during the height of the epidemic, they were also the largest purchaser of these pills. And they had unlike a lot of the other pharmacies, they had a huge, huge control over their internal distribution. And they were skipping the wholesalers and buying drugs directly from the drug manufacturers.
And was Walgreens immediately aware of the pernicious effects of opioids, or if it was self-denial, or they knew but were afraid to investigate? What?
It's hard to know exactly what was going inside their heads. We do have a trove of company emails that made clear to us that at times that the company was not necessarily interested in documenting concerns that were going on. For example, they were told by the DEA in 2011 that their Florida pharmacies were among the largest purchasers of oxycodone, which is highly addictive, and oxycodone 30 milligrams, which is a higher strength that's very coveted on the black market. And pain pill shipments continued to increase. And when the chain was about to launch a survey to try to get a better sense of why are all these pain pill customers coming in, there was a survey that was about to go out, and one of their company lawyers sort of cautioned against asking too many questions and said, if these are legitimate indicators of inappropriate prescriptions, perhaps we should consider not documenting our own potential noncompliance. And at the heart of some of the issues here with Walgreens is that as a distributor, they were responsible for reporting suspicious activity to the, reporting suspicious orders to the DEA. They were responsible for stopping those shipments. And they were in this unique position where they would have had to have reported their own pharmacies for ordering these. And so allegations are that the company failed to report these suspicious orders, that they avoided their responsibility of detecting problems and reporting them to the DEA.
And Walgreens can't plead innocence and not realizing, because you have in your story about a police chief from one town who wrote literally dozens of letters, attempts to contact the Walgreens chairman and chief executive to plead for help, and very little response on the part of the company.
In that particular story, it was actually striking. He didn't get a response, the police chief in Florida. However, we saw oxycodone prescription soar, oxycodone 30 milligram prescription soar at that location from the time that they contacted the chairman and chief executive through the summer of that year. So I believe in some ways that appeared to be a response to his concerns, was to order more pills. And I think that, you know, Walgreens will say, and they defended their practices, they said that they were unlike other wholesalers. There are a lot of other distributors out there who were involved in the national opioid litigation. And unlike those, Walgreens said that they never sold opioid medications to pain clinics, to internet pharmacies, or pill mills. They never marketed or promoted opioid medications. They stand by their pharmacists and the decisions that they made. They said that they were incredibly diligent and careful. You know, one of the issues that became clear as well in the emails, as well as the DEA enforcement agency records, were these, that Walgreens pharmacists were at for a period of time, they received bonuses that were based in part on the number of prescriptions they filled. And so the plaintiffs here, these cities and towns across the country, are saying that Walgreens incentivized their pharmacists to fill more and more of these prescriptions and to look the other way when there were concerns. And Walgreens says that there was, that the bonuses were very small in part based on the number of prescriptions, but it still does raise a lot of questions because that wasn't necessarily a practice that went on at other chains.
So for how many years would you say one could implicate Walgreens for not being vigilant about this?
Our data only examines the period of time from 2006 through 2012. Those are the only years in which the court ordered the release of data tracking pain pill shipments. And obviously we know the crisis started before then and it has lasted and morphed over time since then. So really all we can talk about is what the role and what these shipments look like and the orders look like for Walgreens at that time. And you know, what we saw was that they ordered 31% more oxycodone and hydrocodone pills than per store on average than CVS pharmacies. They ordered 73% more than other pharmacies nationwide. In their own internal company emails, there was a Walgreens manager of pharmaceutical integrity said that the company had runaway, quote unquote, runaway growth of oxycodone sales. And it was in part because the chain would continue to send pills to stores without limit or review. Yeah.
And you had robberies, you had employee theft, all that. Let me ask you in closing, this is not covered in your story, but I'm just kind of curious, you know, sometimes in society, the pendulum goes from one extreme to the other. Mm-hmm. I know now there are some who fear that opioids generally are being restricted too much.
There are individuals who have raised concerns about that. I think that there is a, you know, it's a real balancing act here. I think the number of prescriptions was extraordinary. There was an explosion in it. There are, you know, Walgreens is not the only one named in these kinds of lawsuits. There's the drug manufacturers, the marketers, the wholesalers, the physicians themselves who are prescribing it. And so I think that there's a lot more awareness now about the, the danger of these pills. And so there's an effort to rein in and perhaps at a pace that doesn't match the patients and individuals' desires for these pills.
All right, Jen, nice talking to you. Have a good weekend. Thank you so much. We encourage our listeners, though, to go to the Washington Post online to read this important journalism about Walgreens and opioids. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for having me.